And when he said that, the Shindalids again, they screamed and they yelled and they ran and they jumped and they broke all the windows and they ran away down the street and they ran somewhere, who knows where, into the forest, and they never came back again to that apartment. Now, by the way, just before we finish this maysa, Shindalids is a real thing that the Torah speaks about, but nobody should be afraid of Shindalids, because in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, most of these Shindalids were gotten rid of. They were wiped out of the world. Now, if there are a few that are left, as long as you are doing good things for Hashem, you're learning Torah, you're doing mitzvahs, and you stay away, for example, from a broken down house in the middle of the forest, don't go in there by yourself. That's a place they sometimes go. And, of course, if you do things that are connecting you with Hashem, and Hashem's halakhah, you have nothing to worry about. And, of course, before you go to sleep, you say Kriyat Shema Al Hamita. You take a sitter, you say Shema before you go to sleep. It says, a very interesting pasuk in Kriyat Shema Al Hamita, if you say the whole Kriyat Shema Al Hamita, and it says that there are like 60 giboirim, 60 guards around your bed, and each one has a sword with two edges, like a sword with two sharp parts to the blade. Some knives, they have a sharp part and the other side is not sharp. And some swords, on both sides of the blade, it's sharp, which is a much sharper sword. So when you say Shema before you go to sleep, and you go into your bed and you're sleeping, it's just like you have 60 guards around your bed, and each one has a sword with two edges. Now, why does he need a sword with two edges? In case one of these Shindalas, Chas V'Shalom, wants to come to you to give you a not nice dream, and sometimes they want to do that, all you need is to have these guards around your bed, which you get how? By saying Kriyat Shema before you go to sleep. And they take their sword, and the Shindalid tries to come, and pop, and goodbye. Finished. Like a balloon, and bang, that's it. Because he pokes them, and they're finished. Now this is the special protection you get by saying the Shema before you go to sleep. So everyone should try to say the Shema before they go to sleep. And if you can say the whole Kriyat Shema Al Hamita, or a part of it, or as much as you can, so the more halik your sleep is going to be. And so nobody has to be afraid of these Shindalids at all. One time, the Rebbe Rishab, and the Rebbe Rishab was not too long ago. When I went to yeshiva, the head of my yeshiva, where I went, he was a chassid from the Rebbe Rishab. And I saw him myself. So I saw a person that learned with the Rebbe Rishab. That's how long ago it was. It wasn't that long ago. The Rebbe Rishab went to visit the Kever of the Baal Shem Tov. And he went also to visit the Magid's Kever, the Magid of Mezrich, and to daven by the Kever, by the grave. Now, when we go to the grave of a tzaddik, like sometimes we go to the Ohel, we know how halik it is, and we say over there special davenings from the Minor Lashon, and special Tehillim, and special parts of Tefillos we say over there, and of course we feel a halikite, because it's a halika place. But when the Rebbe Rishab went to the Kever of the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov himself came from Gan Eden and he told the Rebbe Rishab a maise. And the Rebbe Rishab wrote down the maise, and that's the maise that I'm going to tell you. Again, the Baal Shem Tov himself told the maise to the Rebbe Rishab, and the Rebbe Rishab wrote it down for all of us to know this maise. So I'm telling you that maise. And here it is. The Baal Shem Tov told the Rebbe Rishab that one time he came to the city or the town of Brod, And he saw a man in the street, an old man walking in the street, and the kinnelach were running after the man, and they were calling him, Herschel et Sieg, Herschel et Sieg, Herschel the goat. At first, the Baal Shem Tov thought, are these kinnelach making chas v'shalom fun of this yid? But he saw they were not making fun. They were only running after him like out of love. And they were calling him the name, they weren't calling him names. They were just like calling him by his name. There's Herschel et Sieg, Herschel et Sieg, Herschel the goat. And the Baal Shem Tov said, I looked in the face of Reb Herschel et Sieg, and I could not believe what I saw. His face was shining with a special light. And this light was such a halakha light that this was the kind of light that the face of Moshe Rabbeinu was shining when he was on Har Sinai. It says that the face of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was on Har Sinai, close to Hashem, was shining with a special light. This was the light that was shining in the face of Reb Herschel et Sieg, Reb Herschel the goat. And of course, the Baal Shem Tov wanted to know what makes the face of a Jew. And this was a Jew that the Baal Shem Tov never heard about. So he wasn't like a known tzaddik. How could he have such a halakha light in his face? It must mean that he has some kind of a mitzvah or some kind of a schus, some special thing that makes his face light up like that. It doesn't come for nothing. And the Baal Shem Tov started asking around people, do you know about this Reb Herschel et Sieg? What is special about him? Now they did not see the light shining in his face. And the people said, well, we really don't know too much about Reb Herschel et Sieg, other than he has goats, like he has a little farm. Actually, he's a very poor man, and it's not even a farm, it's just a yard, and he has a broken-down house. And it's not even a big yard, it's a little yard. He has a few goats over there. And even though he's very poor, we know that he feeds the goats the best food. We don't know why he does that, because usually people feed goats just like straw or goat food, whatever they eat. But Hershele, he gets the best food for his goats. Well, Reb Herschel et Sieg, he's a widower, an alman. That means he lost his wife. His wife passed away. That we know, so he lives alone. His two children, we know that it was difficult for him to raise the two children by himself. So there are other people that are raising the two children. That also we know. And we know he's a poor man who raises goats. That's all about we know. That's all about him. We know he davens at the shul. He's very quiet. And that's all we know about him. Well, the Baal Shem Tov still, of course, wanted to know why he's zeichet to such a light. And the Baal Shem Tov went to daven to Hashem. He davened to Hashem with all of his heart, asking, "What is the schus of Reb Herschel et Sieg to be shining with the light?" And Hashem did not answer the tefillah. He davened, and Hashem did not answer the tefillah. He gave tzedakah, he said tehillim. He asked Hashem with all of his heart, "Please Hashem, please tell me why Reb Herschel has such a beautiful light shining in his face. What is this chus?" And then the Baal Shem Tov fasted to make himself even more halik, that he should be zeicha to find out who is this Reb Herschel et Sieg. He fasted for one day, and Hashem still did not answer his tefillah. He fasted the night also. He woke up the second morning, and he fasted again, and he davened. And Hashem still did not answer him. He fasted a second night. He did not eat or drink anything. And now the third day he wakes up. You can imagine he was very weak, fasting The third day already, he did not even drink or eat anything. And now, towards the end of the third day of fasting, Hashem answered the tefillah of the Baal Shem Tov. And he said, go yourself and ask Reb Hirshel Letzig what's special about him. And you'll find out, you'll see. The Baal Shem Tov by this time was so shvach, so weak. So what did he do? He went to Reb Hirshel Letzig. He found him walking, or he found him in the shul, he found him somewhere, not in his house. And he goes to Reb Hirshel Letzig, he said, Reb Hirshel, I hear that you have goats. Maybe you could sell me some goat's milk? I would like to drink some goat's milk. Now, goat's milk is very healthy. And the Baal Shem Tov, he just pushed it, wanted to drink the goat's milk to give him koyach. Reb Hirshel looked at the Baal Shem Tov. He did not know who the Baal Shem Tov was. He's a yid. He looks at the Baal Shem Tov, he says, am I not a yid? Am I not a yid that I should have to sell you the milk? You come with me, I'll give you the milk. Chas v'shalom, that I have to sell you the milk, that you should have a glass of milk. Come with me to my house. And Reb Hirshel is leading the Baal Shem Tov through the street, down one street, down another street, until he comes to a street with broken houses, the poorest of the neighborhoods. And he goes into the house of Reb Hirshel Letzig, and there are goats in the house, the goats outside of the house, in the little yard. And Reb Hirshel goes over to a goat, and he milks the goat, and he gives the Baal Shem Tov a drink of milk. And it was so delicious. It was more delicious than any goat's milk that the Baal Shem Tov had ever had in his life. And he says, Reb Hirshel, this is the most wonderful milk that I ever had. What makes it so special? And Hirshel says, I'll tell you what I do. I give my goats the best food that I can get. And that, of course, makes the milk to taste so good. Then the Baal Shem Tov says, Reb Hirshel, I have a question. Please answer me. I saw in your face a special light, and I want to know, what is it that you do? You must have a special mitzvah that you do. Please answer me. What is the special mitzvah you do to give you the light that's shining in your face? Well, Reb Hirshel said, I'm going to answer you. The Baal Shem Tov, of course, was very happy because this is what he's fasting for. This is what he's asking Hashem for. And he's hearing it straight from Reb Hirshel Letzig. Reb Hirshel says, first of all, let me tell you about my wife who passed away. She was the daughter of a very simple Jew who did not learn very much, and he could hardly daven and even say tehillim. But one thing that he taught my wife is that it's very, very special to do a favor for a Jew. Whenever you can, help a Jew with anything. Give food, do something to help somebody. Somebody is sick, bring them something, help them in any way you can. Food, clothes, talk to them. And so my wife was always helping Jews with whatever she could do to make them feel better, to bring them something for Shabbos, even not for Shabbos, lending a little money, going in to help somebody to cook, whatever she could do. Then she passed away. And that was it. But after she passed away, I had a dream. She came to me in the dream, and I saw that she was also shining with a beautiful light. And she says to me in the dream, she says, Hirshel, it's very interesting because it's not like I learned. It's not like I learned that people told me what would happen to me. She said, people told me a person passes away So they go to the judgment. And the judgment, usually they find things wrong, so they send them to Gehenim. In Gehenim is punishments. And after Gehenim, and after punishments, finally they get to go to Gan Eden. That's what they told me, but I found it was different. You know what happened to me after I passed away? I'll tell you. His wife is telling him in the dream. I went to the judgment. They asked me what I did. I said I tried to help Jews. Right away, they took me to Gan Eden. They opened the doors of Gan Eden. And as soon as they opened the doors of Gan Eden, thousands and thousands of Yidden came to me. And they were singing, they were dancing, they were happy. And they were happy to see me, and they brought me to Gan Eden. And I recognized these are all the people that I helped. People that I gave food. People that I made feel better. People that I talked to. People that I brought things to. People that I helped get medicines. Every person that I did a favor was there to greet me. Of course, the people that had passed away. So I don't know. It was very interesting. They took me straight into Gan Eden. They took me to the place with the great, great tzaddikuses. And there I have my place in Gan Eden. So why do I come to you? One thing I know. Hershele, you're still in the world. You're still in the world of Torah and mitzvahs. Hershele, do whatever you can to help a Jew. Because, of course, I want to be together with you in Gan Eden. Sooner or later, you're going to come here also. So do whatever you can to help a Jew. And for sure, with Hashem's help, the same thing will be for you. You're going to come to Gan Eden and be together with me in Gan Eden. Reb Hershele woke up from the dream, and he knew that it was a real dream, and he knew that was a real thing, and he decided he's also going to do something to help Jews. Reb Hershele is telling this in the Baal Shem Tov. What did he decide to do? To learn, he knows he's not the person that could really learn. To daven, to say tillim. He could hardly even say tillim, and he could hardly daven himself. To do a favor for a Jew, what could he do? He decided he's going to get goats. And in a secret way, that he's not going to make a big deal out of himself, he's going to go to poor people that can't afford enough food for themselves, that are sometimes hungry and their kids are hungry, and he's going to make sure they have the best goat's milk. And the kinderlach will be gesund, and the families will be feeling enough food because they're going to have enough milk to drink, and it's going to be the delicious milk. So Hershele decided he's going to give his goats the best milk. The best food. He got the goats, and he gave them the best food. And not in his own town, but he went to different towns around where they didn't know him, and they wouldn't know where he came from. He would go around to the poor people and he would give them the goat's milk. And the kinderlach drank the milk, and the tatis and mamis drank the milk, and they were so happy and they were so excited whenever Reb Hershele came. And in his own town, they didn't know of these mitzvahs, but they knew that Reb Hershele was always very nice to everybody. And if anybody, of course, needed a favor, Reb Hershele would do it. And he would be especially for the kids, so nice to them, and they loved them. Now, Kinalach, this is what Reb Hershele told the Baal Shem Tov. And from this, the Baal Shem Tov saw with such a love that he did a favor for another Jew. This is what made his face light up. Now, the Baal Shem Tov also saw that the neshama of Reb Hershele was a very, very halakha neshama. And every neshama should learn Torah as much as they can. Reb Hershele never really had a chance. The Baal Shem Tov invited Reb Hershele to come with him to learn Torah. And he himself taught Reb Hershele. And it could be that others taught Reb Hershele. The main thing is Reb Hershele became not only a man who did mitzvahs, he was a man who became a tremendous big Talmud Chochem and a big tzaddik in learning Torah, as well as continuing to do mitzvahs. But the whole thing was a secret. He became a tzaddik nister, a hidden tzaddik. And he came back to his town. People thought it was the same Reb Hirschel that was away for a while. They didn't know that he was a great tzaddik and a great Talmud Chochem and a ga'oin. A ga'oin means like a tremendous person in Torah, in learning Torah. Finally, he became very old and he passed away. And the Chevra Kadisha, who takes care of the Levayas, he became very old, he passed away. The Chevra Kadisha, who takes care of the Levayas, the dead people, and they do the Chesed Shel Emes, they do the burying of the dead people and taking care of them, which is the greatest kindness. Because as we know, to take care of a dead person, he'll never do back a favor for you. So this is a great chesed. They came to take Reb Hirschel to bury him. And they gave him a very simple levaya. A few people came that found out about it. And they made a simple levaya. They buried him with the very poor people in the basic forest. Now, up in the Himmel, when Reb Hirschel went up in the Himmel, also he went into Gan Eden straight away, and thousands of Malachim came to greet him, and people that had passed away, Neshamas that he had helped and given milk came to greet him, and many Malachim that had seen the mitzvahs that he did, that he had done, came to greet him. But all of a sudden he saw, going into the Beis Din Shel Maila, he saw the Yetzer Hara, he saw the Satan, very angry. And the Satan, he saw, was going to make trouble against the Jews of his own town of Brod. And Reb Hirschel heard the Yetzer Hara complaining to Hashem, "Look! Look at the people of Brod!" And his wife was also there, because she came to greet him also in Gan Eden, because she was in Gan Eden, and they're both listening to the Yetzer Hara. "Look, the people abroad, they did not give Reb Hirschel a nice levaya. He's a tzaddik, he's a Talmud Chochem. Is it covet for a tzaddik and a Talmud Chochem to have a little levaya and to be buried with the poorest of people? He should have been buried with the tzaddikim and the Talmidei Chachamim. And more people should have come to give kavod for his levaya." And so the Yetzer Hara was saying, the people abroad should chas v'shalom be punished because of the little levaya they gave to Reb Hirschel. And his wife spoke up, and she said to the Beis Din Shel Maila, she said, "Chas v'shalom, that because of my husband, people should be punished. He only helped people. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't go around telling people who he was. So it's not their fault. They didn't know. They thought he was just a poor person. And chas v'shalom, because of him, something bad should happen in the town that he was always trying to be nice to, and he only tried to help people." And so she got rid of the gzeira, chas v'shalom, that could have come upon the people. Now, the main thing of the Maisa, and the Baal Shem Tov told this to the Rebbe Rashab, that every Jew comes into this world, of course, to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. But it could be that you live 70 or 80 years in the world, and even for one Jew that you help, that's the whole reason you came down into the world. Of course, you try to help as many people as you can and do as many mitzvahs as you can. But it can be sometimes just to help one person. That was why you came down into the world, and the rest of your life is only to go along with that one mitzvah. And you never know, you usually never know, when that mitzvah comes. So what is it? Whenever you have a chance to help a Jew, Of course, you learn from Reb Hershela and his wife to help that Jew. It's so special. And you never know, now this is what the Baal Shem Tov said, that it could be because of this one time you help one Jew with one mitzvah, that's the whole reason why you got born and why you lived your whole life. And you never know when that's going to happen. So the main thing is, whenever you have a chance, you help a Yid. Hashem sent the froggies into Mitzrayim. The second of the Makais was frogs. Dom Tzfardeya. First was the blood, and then was froggies. And the froggies, Hashem said, they should go every single place. Even they should jump into the ovens. Even they should go everywhere. The frogs should be everywhere. Now what means everywhere? Even jumping into ovens. Now Kinalach, the Mitzrim heard the froggies coming. They saw the froggies coming. Thousands and millions of frogs are coming to their house. And the Mitzrim see that they better do something fast. So what did they do? They had stone houses with doors, with windows. They said, no problem. We'll lock the doors. We'll lock the windows. We'll make sure that there's not even one crack that's open so no froggies will get in. We'll stay in our house and the froggies will stay outside. So they closed up their house. They stayed inside the house. And now the froggies are coming all around the house, but they can't get in because the door is locked. And so can the lock. This is what happened, the Medrash says. The froggies came up against the stone wall. And the froggies tried to get past the stone wall, but a frog is a little soft, and the stone is very hard. The froggy can't, you know, do anything with the stone wall over there. So it says, Mr. Froggy spoke to Mr. Stone. And Froggy said to Stone, let me in. Stone said, what are you telling me let you in? I'm a stone. A frog can't get past the stone. I don't have any holes. Hashem made me this way. I'm very hard. I'm very solid. There's no holes in me. I'm doing my job. I'm a stone. What do you want from me? What's the ace in a cup? The frog says, look, you're doing your shlichus by being a stone, but I also have a shlichus. My shlichus is I have to go everywhere in Mitzrayim. I have to go into every house, even jump into the ovens. Well, I have to get into the house. So the only way I can get into the house, if you let me in. So move aside, make some kind of a hole for me and split. Split Mr. Rock, split apart and let me through. So the rock said, well, wait a minute. Hashem made me to do my shlichus like this. Who says I should change my shlichus because of your shlichus? My shlichus is I don't split. I don't have any holes all of a sudden and open up a door for you. I'm a rock. What do you want from me? What do you want from my life? But Kinalach, Hashem said to Mr. Rock, look, I gave right now Mr. Froggy the shlichus. He's got to go in the house. There's no way for him to go in. So now your shlichus is going to change to help Mr. Froggy with his shlichus. And sure enough, the rocks opened up holes and froggies went through the holes and they went into the house. And all of a sudden, of course, the Mitzrim saw the froggies coming into the house through the stones. And the froggies filled up the house and started croaking and jumping everywhere. And they even jumped into the